This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new unrivaled league, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In terms of the markets, stock futures are up, anywhere from 0.75% to just over 1% in the NASDAQ this morning. Oil is around 68-ish and change, and actually gas prices nationally up a bit over the weekend. You know, we talk a lot about real estate on this show, and, you know, we had Sandy Terenzi on a couple weeks ago, and we just, you know, we're waiting for Connecticut to get unstuck, and affordability is an issue. We'll talk with Alex Putterman later today about, actually Greg Bordenero, about all the apartments coming online in Stamford, which I think is a direct response to the expensive element of New York and people just fanning out more and more and more. Jill Schlesinger is the topic of her blog. You go to JillOnMoney.com. Of course, CBS News and Jill on Money joins us Mondays when she's available at 6:20. Jill, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm pretty good. You're trying to make a case for some optimism in housing, and I'm just going to tell you,
I am trying.
I'm not buying it. I'm still not buying it.
First of all, what I'm about to talk to is about the national level. So clearly, you know, Connecticut's a hot state. There is not, you know, when you live in the Northeast, you don't have tons of new homes being built. So yep, that can change market dynamics, right? But what we know, and here is the good news, okay? Prices are up. It's terrible. Prices are up overall, like up by 45% over the last 5 years. That's about twice the rate of inflation. So just to be clear, yeah, you're not crazy. And yes, mortgage rates are up. They're not as high as they were, but they're about double where they were 5 years ago. And so you put on top of that homeowners insurance, and you know what? Affordability is still a big problem. However, the good news is that there is certainly evidence that home price increases are slowing down. Hey, there's new inventory. More people are starting to list their homes and plan to list their homes. The number of homes that are actually going for under their list price is increasing. So, you know, we had these bidding wars and it was crazy. And now nationally, it looks like houses are really sort of transacting at 2% below list, which, you know, is still pretty high, relatively speaking, to the history. But things are better. They are better and should continue to improve as more and more people just take the plunge and list their homes.
You know, I think it's really important to point out, like, developing, like, Connecticut's not Arizona, right? I mean, it's just, it's different. We don't have new construction. And
right,
there's a ton of not in my backyard stuff going on as it yep, relates to affordable housing. And it's kind of a mess. And the thing is, I do think sometimes in this region, the, because I do see some, I thought there was some softening, and I saw things were staying on a little longer. Prices were, you know, some stuff was going for under ask. But I think that has maybe something to do with the inventory that's actually there isn't very good, you know. So
look,
people
that is
maybe
possible. But it's also possible, like I hear from people all the time, my radio show, my podcast, right? And at some point, people just have to give. So I'll give you an example of this. In this market, so I'm going to say tri-state area, right? So
right,
in general, what we have is we have a lot of people who have jobs and they are maybe renting, but they're busting at the seams. So once you have to make the decision like, oh my gosh, I need another bedroom just because I am a growing family, now all of a sudden your rent is going up. So all of a sudden the comps to rent are really starting to make buying a little bit more appealing. And I know that sounds sort of like the wrong reason, but you know, in every market, it's different. So if all of a sudden, you know, if you're living in New York City, but you can work from home a couple days a week, now I can move up to Connecticut, and now I can get a house, and I can factor everything in. And I say, well, you know, if I have to spend $6,000 a month on an apartment in New York City, I might as well take that $6,000 and put it towards a house. And that is the comparison that people are actually making. And yeah. I think that is actually the fuel of the market right now.
Yeah, it's so interesting because, well, I think that also makes it harder for Connecticut, you know, residents because,
yes.
you know, salaries in Manhattan are higher, and then it means the prices stay firm, and for Connecticut people, it's harder to buy. But I was going to ask you, one of my questions was rent versus own. Like, at this very moment, generally, is it it's leaning back toward buying, which, is that true?
You know what? Here's the thing. It depends on the market. It depends on your personal situation. There are calculators out there. In fact, the New York Times has a great rent versus buy calculator. And I think that what you often will forget when you are looking at home ownership, which, you know, anyone who owns a home is going to tell you this, but you never listen to it. And that is, yes, there's principal and interest, and that stinks. Yes, there's homeowners insurance, and that stinks. And yes, there's property taxes. However, what we often don't factor in is that maintenance. That maintenance is killer sometimes for people. Mm-hmm. It really is. So I guess what I want to say is it depends on your situation. If you can make the numbers work, that's great. If you have family money that's helping you, great, but that's not most people. But you got to run your own numbers. You've got to see what you can really afford. And you know, the thing that I always worry about when people are looking to buy is not so much, you know, that they... I think that if you run the numbers and it works, great. But if you're stretching, and by stretching, you can't fund your own retirement, you're not going to be able to save any money for yourselves, you're going to live like, you know, you're really going to have a hard time month to month, then don't do it. And especially if you're in an industry where you really fear consolidation, there is a great peace of mind with being a renter, not being on the hook in the same way. So yeah. I think... you got to be a little bit careful, but if you feel confident and you do run the numbers and it can work, then go ahead and do it. It's not, you know, I know that people get spooked by the mortgage interest rates. I get that, but that shouldn't be what spooks you. If you can carry this, you kind of get over yourself and you make the numbers work, great. And if you can't, pile up that money, keep putting money into retirement. You can accumulate wealth without a home. You really can.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. Young people, you know, obviously we know the trend's still there with coming home after graduation to save money with their first jobs and stuff. But I had a conversation with a friend over the weekend who basically bought a piece of property the same price I bought something a couple of years back. And he's in the high sixes. I was just under three. And the difference in the monthly payment was stunning.
Massive.
To me. I mean, it's unbelievable how much more expensive it is at those higher rates. And
yep.
And,
you know, and obviously the whole affordability question gets compounded, right? Because it's not just that prices have gone up, mortgage rates have gone up, homeowners insurance has gone up. So you put it all together and affordability, it's a little bit better than it was just because our wages keep rising. But still, it does not look like a great environment. So run the numbers. Be careful. I don't want to hear from nasty realtors who are mad at me. You guys know what the market looks like in your area. If your numbers work, then you can make it work. Don't be so... I'm hearing more and more from people who are like, yeah, I have a 6.5% mortgage. I'm just living with it.
I love your... I mean, your statistic out of the gate is amazing. And again, go to JillOnMoney.com. House prices are up 45% in 5 years, and inflation's up 23%. It shows you how much, you know, the increase in housing is just unbelievable. Jill, thanks so much. We appreciate the time, as always.
Take care.